The Bible reading is for tonight is from Luke 12:13 through 21. It is on page 74 in the Pew Bible or in your bulletin. Luke 12:13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who sent me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grains and my goods. And I will say to my Lord, to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax. Eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And things you have prepared, whose they will be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." The word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Today, we're using a style of teaching that came even before Christ. Plato talks about his dialogues in his teaching, and we're using a dialogue style with Robert helping me tonight to share a thought about the text you've just heard. I want to reread it to you from the Message paraphrase, and you might see here a little difference or a little bit of a different nuance from our reader, and I want to thank you for reading, by the way. Someone out of the crowd said, "Teacher, order my brother to give me a fair share of the family inheritance." He replied, "Mister, what makes you think it's any of my business to be a judge or a mediator over you?" Speaking to the people, he went on, "Take care, protect yourself against the least bit of greed. Life is not defined by what you have, even if you have a lot." Then he told them this story. The farmer of a certain rich man produced a terrific crop. He talked to himself, "What can I do? My barn isn't big enough for this harvest." And then he said, "Here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll gather in all my grain and goods, and I'll say to myself, 'Self, you've done well. You've got it made and can now retire. Take it easy and have the time of your life.' Just then God showed up and said, 'Fool, tonight you will die. And your barn full of goods, who gets it?' That's what happens when you fill your barn with self and not with God." Here ends the text. I'm an angel, and that's a man who's just died. What brings you here?
Heart attack, I guess. That's the last thing I remember.
Welcome to the waiting room.
I've sat in plenty of those. How long will it take?
How long will what take?
My judgment.
Not for a while. You'll have to forgive me. I'm not used to time. We are in timelessness, so you'll notice you don't have a watch on.
Oh, yeah.
First, you have a pretest.
Really? That is so cool. I was worried that I would have to play it by ear before the big man.
The big man?
Upstairs, you know, the big man upstairs.
We are upstairs. You mean Almighty God?
Ah, yes. Well, are you going to quiz me so I'm better prepared?
That's the idea.
When do we start?
Right now. What's the biggest thing on your mind right now? You know, the most important thing.
Will I go to heaven or not, I guess. Yes, that's it.
Tell me why you should go to heaven.
Well, what's that file you have there?
It gives me all the stuff about your life that I need to know. The big man knows it by heart.
Okay. Go ahead.
Why heaven for you?
Well, who wouldn't want to go to heaven? I mean, the choice is heaven or hell, right? And hell is not a nice place from what I hear.
Why do you deserve heaven then?
I went to church and believed in God and all. I gave an offering every time I went to church. I served on some church boards, and my wife sang in the choir and worked with Sunday school.
Excuse me, but what your wife did is between her and God.
Well, I supported her in that.
Go on.
I did not cheat on my income tax. I mowed my lawn, and I kept the house up. I took my kids to Sunday school and church until they were old enough to tell me they weren't interested.
How about your work life?
Oh, I was a school administrator for the last 10 years of my life. You know, it's funny to talk about not being, except that I am.
A lot of people feel that way. How was your faith evident in your work?
By my actions. I was an ethical person. I did not cheat my school district. Now, I couldn't talk about God or anything with the school staff. School rules, you know.
Well, tell me about how you gave to life.
Like I said, I gave an offering to church.
A tithe?
Well, no. I was taught that you gave as you prospered. So, every time I was there, I put a 10 in the plate. No dollar here or there for me.
Well, that's 1% tithe of sorts. But even that dropped off during the last couple of years.
I was trying to send a message that I did not like what the church was doing.
Well, how about last year?
That was different. I did not like what the pastor was doing.
You were working on getting him kicked out?
I would have succeeded, I think, had I not died.
Well, how is your repentance quotient?
What's that?
How often have you confessed your sins and...
Every Sunday. I never miss that.
You interrupted me.
Oh, sorry. I'm a little nervous. I'm just glad that this is a pretest.
Well, how often have you confessed your sins and repented of them?
I changed a few things in my life. I used to smoke. I gave that up. I changed my language to be politically correct so that it wouldn't offend people. And believe me, in school, you have got to watch your back.
Okay, next question is, what is sin?
Breaking the Ten Commandments, I suppose.
Did you have any problem with those 10 plus the other two?
What other two?
The great commandments, love God first and love your neighbor as yourself, you know.
Oh, sure. I could probably quote those to you.
Oh, good. I won't have to ask you. So did you have any problems with the 10 plus 2?
Well, nobody's perfect. Well, except Jesus, of course.
Of course.
I confess that I did use foul language at times, even though the ones I was mad at deserved it. And I skipped a few Sunday services when I had more important things to do.
What's more important?
Beginning of hunting season, my kids' soccer tournaments, family vacation, being sick, family get-togethers, you know.
Well, being an angel, you don't get sick, but it sounds like church was a priority if you didn't have something better to do.
Well, that doesn't sound very good. I was a fairly regular attender. At least I wasn't a creaster.
A creaster?
You know, someone who only goes to church on Christmas and Easter. You know, I thought all angels were religious and all and knew the jargon.
Well, it changes so fast that I can't keep up with it. I pretty much focus on God's word. That's consistent and it's always is the same. How has that worked out for you?
What?
Studying God's word.
Oh, I went to church and I listened to sermons and scripture being read. I went to Sunday school as a little kid and I heard about Adam and Noah and Jonah and the fiery furnace. I heard about the resurrection of Jesus and his healings. And I heard that I am saved by grace through faith. I don't have to do a thing.
You've got me confused. You are, in fact, saved by God's grace through your faith and trust in him. The fruit of that obedience is living in the Spirit.
That sounds kind of charismatic to me. I didn't go to that church. I'm saved by grace, period, not works.
Well, no one can earn God's favor through good works, but good works are the expected fruit of being saved by grace through faith. Like an apple tree that doesn't produce apples. It just takes from the soil and takes from the air and the rain and only gives shade, maybe some oxygen, but no apples.
Well, at least it gave shade. But you're right. It would not be very useful if it did not produce apples.
Especially if people were depending upon that tree for food.
How many more questions do you have?
The pretest has only begun.
What?
We have not talked about every individual you've ever come in contact with, including those closest to you. We've not talked about your years in elementary school, junior high, high school, college. We've not talked about your marriage.
I am a one-woman man.
That you are.
I married a teacher.
How have you ministered to her?
I brought home income, gave her children, bought her gifts on her birthday and Christmas. And I remembered our anniversary. Not every guy can say that.
True. But minister, though it includes caring for another, goes farther than a person's emotional and physical needs. It includes the spiritual.
Well, hey, you know, my wife and I never talked about religion. In fact, we even avoided politics. We did talk about church and our minister, but not abstract religious concepts.
How about talking about your relationship to Jesus, you know, sharing how he has helped you from day to day, week to week?
Well, that is kind of abstract and personal and embarrassing.
It says here that you went on an Emmaus walk. They try to help people have confidence in talking about their faith.
It was a bummer. I'm glad I got out alive. I think that some of those guys were from another planet.
Well, I believe your superintendent was a fellow participant on your walk.
Yes, and I watched out for him after that.
Why?
Because he took his faith so seriously.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, when you make religion central in your life.
Well, what is central or first in yours?
My obligations to my family, myself, my country, and God, of course.
God isn't first?
Well, nice thought, but not practical. I mean, I never could identify with those disciples who did nothing but full-time ministry, working at their trades when short of money. And then they gave their very lives.
Well, whom did they give them for?
The cause they were supporting. Well, for God, I guess.
Yes, it was for God.
We sure are talking about God a lot.
You'll be meeting him tomorrow.
Oh?
I will give you a break and come back in a while to look at the place of stewardship in your life.
Money again?
Oh, not only money, but how you use all your gifts, including your time and your talents and even your spiritual gifts. Then we'll talk about your prayer life.
Do we have to?
This pretest is to your advantage. Tomorrow is the real thing.
Okay, well, I wish I could go back and tell others to be more prepared.
The pretest is now. 2 Peter verse 1 and beginning with verse 3 says, Jesus has the power of God by which he has given us everything we need to live and to serve God. We have these things because we know him. Jesus called us by his glory and goodness. Through these, he gave us the very great and precious promises. With these gifts, you can share God's nature, and the world will not ruin you with its evil desires. Because you have these blessings, do your best to add these things to your lives. To your faith, add goodness. To your goodness, add knowledge. To your knowledge, add self-control. And to your self-control, add patience. And to your patience, add service to God. And to your service for God, add kindness for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And to this kindness, add love. If all these things are in you and are growing, they will help you to be useful and productive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But anyone who does not have these things cannot see clearly. He is blind, or she is blind, and has forgotten that he was made clean from his past sins. Now, having heard this man's pretest, remember to watch out for what happens when you fill your barn with self and not with God. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn of the day, and during this time we receive the offering.
Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day his clear voice sounding, saying, Christian, follow me. As of old Saint Andrew heard it by the Galilean lake, turned from home and toil and kindred, leaving all for his dear sake. Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store.